Take your Bible, look in Titus chapter 2. And I'll tell you what, I wish I could get more excited about him. I wish I could get more. One day you're going to get to heaven, you're going to realize what we've been preached and what you've experienced and what the Bible says. You're going to realize it's be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And man, you're going to explode just about. Knowing that man, that truth is real, and it's, man, it's a blessing. Knowing that, Jesus Christ died for your sin, paid your sin debt, went all the way to Calvary. Whenever I went to Calvary, and Linda and I was taking pictures there at Calvary, and Brother Glenn was talking, and while we were at Calvary, we had our back to it. We backed up there, and the Muslims built a graveyard on top of Calvary. And right at the bottom of Calvary is a bus stop. All these buses are back in there. And you can hear the buses running. And Brother Glenn says there, that's what the world thinks about Calvary. That's what they think about it. They don't. They don't think about it. Unless somebody points it out, somebody's living for God, and somebody says, hey, man, Jesus Christ died for you, paid your sin debt. I know all our calendar, everything the calendar's centered around him. Everything's centered around him, but the world still don't want him. They still don't want him. If Jesus Christ was to come back right now and walk on this earth like he did in those days, they would still find a way to kill him, to crucify him and kill him. But they ain't going to do that again. You know, the next time he comes back, he's coming back on a white horse. You know that? He's going to come in the rapture, and then the white horse is coming back, and he's going to come back. You say, for what? I went to the Valley of Megiddo, and the Valley of Megiddo, where the Bible says in Revelation 9, is going to be 200 million men that's going to come against Jerusalem. That's a lot of men. No army in the world has ever assembled that many men. They said Adolf Hitler sent 3 million men into Russia, attacking Russia, and they ran out of fuel. Thank God they did. They ran out of fuel. So a large army, but can you imagine, I mean, that many men in the Valley of Megiddo? The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, let's read on that Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now, but speak thou the things which become of sound doctrine, that aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience." It's talking about you that are saved. It says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, being able to control yourself, being able to control your flesh, sound in the faith, know what you believe, why you believe it. I hope when you come to church, I mean, I hope you get in that Bible. I said this Wednesday night, I wanted to know what this book said. I couldn't read it right when I got saved. I wanted to know what this book said. I didn't want to take man's word for it. I hope you never take a preacher's word for anything. You get in that book and find out what the book says. Amen. And don't take a preacher's word for it. Amen. You say, you're cutting your own throat. Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you, get in the book. Find out what the book says. Now, faith coming by hearing. When a preacher preaches the word of God, you're supposed to listen. You're not supposed to mess with your cell phone, sit there looking at a message. You don't come to church for that. You come to hear the word of God preach. You come to get some more faith, to build yourself up in your most holy faith. You come to get something from God. You want something from the Lord. How many of y'all need something from God this morning? Amen. We all do, man. We're a needy people, man. We need something from God. And I tell you, I can't do it. I know that. God's got to do it. He's got to do it. It says that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith. And charity. Charity is being able, we use charity as a giving, you know, and all that. But charity is more than just giving. It's having faith in God and growing and giving yourself and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Aged women, you know what the Bible tells? An older woman should be an example to the younger women. We were sitting there yesterday morning at breakfast. I said, here's the older men on one side, the younger men on this side. The older men should be examples to the younger men. It shouldn't be the younger men leading the older men. It shouldn't be that way. In any other culture, like the Chinese, Japanese, and all the Asian, they're always the older men being a guide. But we don't have that in America. We don't have the older men got any wisdom and any knowledge. I'm not saying all, but a lot of men don't have that wisdom to be able to lead a younger man, how they ought to worship God, love their wife, raise their children, that kind of thing. They don't have that. And the Bible tells us you ought to do that. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. I mean, you're supposed to behave yourself. Act right. It's something about a woman trying to be 16 years old. After she's like 40 years old, she's trying to act like she's 16. she got stains running up her legs, and she's walking around with mini skirts on. God have mercy, man. That's the sickest looking thing you ever seen in your life. A woman trying to act like she's 16 when she's 30 and 40. I've seen women 16, 70 years old trying to act like they're 16. God have mercy, man. And a girl 16 shouldn't even be acting that way. Yeah. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. I'm just going to hit everything. You don't mind, don't you? I'm just going to hit everything. Preaching on the resurrection this morning somewhat, and preaching about the Lord coming back. But to age women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And it says, not false accusers, not given to much wine. And the reason why it says not given to much wine, you said, well, can they drink? Wine was used for a health reason. It was, you know, I know every alcohol drunk was just for municipal purposes. But it ain't that. You know, it was for medication. You know, somebody going through something. And my father used to make hot toddies. How many of y'all's dad used to make hot toddies and give it to you when you had a cold? My dad used to. Yeah. How many of y'all drunks now? Yeah, I was a drunk before. That they be, where was I? I'm not giving them much wine. Teachers of good things, teaching good things. An older woman ought to be teaching the women, young women, how to act, how to become holy and living right and acting right and not going off and raising their children. You seen Tabby and Mike get up here, and he said he praying for the Lord to come back. That's what I did. I thought, God, man, raise my kids in this world. God, have mercy. I pray the Lord come back quick. I got saved in the 70s. I thought the Lord come back in the 70s. The preachers were preaching, I thought for sure he's coming. And here we are, 2018, he ain't come yet. He said, what do you mean? Are they lying to you? No, man, they were saying the Lord's coming. He's coming. Amen. And this year's 70th anniversary of Israel. You said, what does that have anything to do with it? I hope it does. I hope it has something to do with it. Yeah. I know we're closer now than we ever was before. I know that. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Amen. We got unnatural affections going on today. You got women giving up their kids, not caring more about drugs and drinking and carrying on, partying, running around. Men doing the same thing. They ain't my child and all that kind of stuff. That's the generation. It was my generation, 60s and 70s. Having children, not raising the children, not being responsible for them, not giving the kids any chance. Seen that little boy up here. He's up here doing that. You say, what was he doing? Brother Ken said, that little boy's a little slow. He said, what? Man, it breaks my heart for little kids. Yeah. When I was in Israel, I walked around and seen those little kids. I was saying, oh, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. Oh, everywhere I go, I see kids. I said, God, have mercy. I ride down the road, see kids getting off the bus. I pray for them. I pray for kids. Pray for the kids when they're getting off the bus, when they're getting on the bus. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It says if a woman doesn't do that, she's blaspheming God and his word. If you don't do that, you're blaspheming God's word, especially if you're saved. If you're a saved woman, you ought to be trying to, you ought to exalt your husband. I'm not saying put him on a pedestal, you know, but, you know, don't run him down, let the kids run him down. And same with the woman. A man shouldn't do that. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things. Young men are not sober-minded today. All they can think about is, it's just like the young teenager, all they can think about is me, what I can get, what I want, and all about me. You see everybody walking around like this all the time taking pictures? That's selfie-itis. That's selfie-itis. They always... Selfie-itis, man. God have mercy. I have a hard time with that. I can't do that stuff. I can't do that. People are always taking pictures of themselves. Man, what do you think? Hollywood's going to discover you or something? We'll get to the message in a minute. Amen. I'm having fun with this. Amen. It says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands. Husbands, and you know what? They always said this. If a man can't run his home, he'll ruin it. Ladies, you ought to let your husband run it, even though if he don't, you make him think he does anyway. Make him think he does. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity. It's a sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. People talk about things. I've said this 100 times. I've been out passing out tracts, witnessing people, and they say, and first thing they say, you pastor where? I said, Faith Baptist Church. And they sit down there on 300. They said, does so-and-so go to your church? I mean, first thing they start saying, does so, and I start praying, God, have mercy. And I pray they have a good testimony. Amen. It's a sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he may have, he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things and answering again. It says prolonging, but showing, I got it all written over. I can't hardly read it. But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now look at the next verse. This verse I wanted to get to. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, the Bible says that we ought to be looking for the Lord to come. We ought to be looking for his return. I mean, folks, we get excited. Some of y'all, I know, I've watched crowds. I like to watch people. When you're preaching, you're always watching people. You can watch and see who's getting touched, who's in tune, who's, listening, and that kind of thing. You can watch people that be looking down. They're messing with their phone or doing something else, or they're under conviction. If you've got your head down, it's not time to pray, but it's time to, listen. But what happens is we get so caught up in life and get some things going on in your life, and you're not in tune to things. And when you come to church, you're not listening. You're not looking. The Bible tells us that there's seven crowns in the Word of God. And the seven crowns, and one of them is for those that love his appearing. That love his appearing. And that means you're looking for Jesus to come back. I mean, man, every time the clouds open up and the sun rays come through, you're looking for Jesus to come back. You say, why? I mean, man, that's kind of selfish, ain't it? No, it ain't. It's looking for that blessed hope. The Bible says, look what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purge unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak, look what it says, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And the Bible tells us that you ought to be looking for Jesus to come. Now, when's the last time when you looked up and you said, Lord, come on, will you come back? Our brother Mike said, well, may I pray, Lord, come back before these kids have to, raise them up. I'll tell you what, but until then, you're supposed to be serving him. Yeah. You're supposed to be living godly, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You're supposed to be having your mind right, having your heart set on loving God. I mean, Christians today, if there's one thing they're not doing, they're not having their heart set on loving God. I've said this Wednesday night, I'm convinced, I am wholly convinced that the problem with people won't serve God is because of love. And you don't love him like you say you do. The Bible says, Jesus said, with their mouths they confess me, but their hearts are far from me. I mean, folks, if we really love God, nobody's got to pry you to come to church. Nobody's got to pry you to do what's right. Nobody's got to tell you you better do right. Nobody's got to send you a text every day. Are you living right? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Nobody's got to do that. If a man loves God, the Bible says the same is known of him. If a man loves God, a woman loves God, nobody's got to pry you to do what's right. Amen. You'll do what's right no matter what. You say, well, I get kind of weak at times. Well, when you know you start feeling weak, what do? Well, you say, I need to get something to eat. Yep. When you're feeling physically weak, you say, man, I need to eat something. What do when you get spiritually weak? You start reading the Word of God. And you start praying. Lord, help me, Lord. I'm kind of weak right now. Now, we talked about the looking for that blessed hope. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the blessed hope. I mean, he is that blessed hope, and we're looking for him to come. We're looking for him in the sky. One day he's going to break through the eastern sky, and man, he's going to come up, and we're going to shout the victory, and man, we're going to see him as he is, amen? And we're going to rejoice knowing that we're going to see him. I mean, but the Bible tells us to look for that blessed hope. Are you looking this morning? Are you looking for him to come? Are you, man, are you seeking for him? Are you saying, Lord, come on back? I mean, when's the last time you prayed? Lord, even so, Lord Jesus, come on. Even so, I mean, man, when's the last time you said, Lord, I want you to come back. I want to see you. There's a song they sing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Sing the blessed story of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Home at last, cares all past. What a blessing. Amen. I mean, when's the last time you prayed, Lord, come on, I want to serve you. I want to serve you, God. I want to do my best till you come. Folks, the Bible calls Jesus Christ the blessed hope. Are you looking for that blessed hope? Now, take your Bible, look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1. Man, we're talking about that blessed hope. We're talking about a sure hope. We're talking about the Lord coming back. I want the Lord to come back. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look what it says. Talking about a hope. Man, I tell you what, it's not like I hope so, think so, but I know it's a sure hope. The Bible says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again onto a what? Lively hope. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, folks, we couldn't have no hope outside of his resurrection. There wouldn't be no hope. You know, the Bible says if Jesus Christ didn't raise from the grave and he didn't raise on his own, I mean, I went into the tomb and man, the angels, you read the Bible, I don't have time to go through all that, time going by so fast, but I tell you what, you read in the book of John, an angel says, whom seek ye? He's not here. He's risen. I mean, man, we got a Savior that's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us right now. You read Hebrews chapter 9, and the Bible says Jesus Christ is our high priest, making intercession. And Wednesday night, I said this. I said, man, you know what? The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren, and Jesus Christ is our advocate. And an advocate is like in the military, they have a judge advocate, and an advocate is a lawyer. And Jesus Christ is representing us. And I said, you know what's sad? I said, what's sad is when the devil accuses us, he's right. Yep. He's right. When he accused us of doing wrong and not living for God, and when he accused us of not loving God, he's right. Amen. We can't say anything to that. The devil, man, I'll tell you what, he's been right about us. He's been right on the money. Yep. And Jesus Christ stands over there and says, Father, I paid that sin debt. I washed him in the blood.
Amen.
And God the Father says, innocent. But I'll tell you what, wouldn't it be a blessing to get to heaven and know that you made the devil lie about you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a blessing to get to heaven and say, he lied? But we ain't going to be able to stay there. Most Christians today don't love God. They're not looking for the blessed hope. They're not looking, man, to stay soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You're not living it like that. Most of us, we're just, man, we're caught up in our own little world. I mean, man, people dying and going to hell walk by us all the time, our family members, and we'll stand up in church and pray for my loved ones. But you don't pray.
Yeah.
You want somebody else to pray, but you don't pray. God have mercy. It says, blessed be the God, be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. You know what? God says he has abundant mercy. Abundant. That means he's got plenty. He got plenty. Plenty of mercy. Amen. The Bible says that it says, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. I mean, man, this hope is alive. He's alive. He's alive and well.
Amen.
Sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now making intercession for you. I mean, folks, if I was going to serve a dead God, I put the Lord on the line. I prayed about things. And I prayed, the Bible says you got to pray according to his will. But I prayed about things and I asked God for things. And I wanted to make sure that I'm not just praying in the air. I wanted to make sure that my prayers are not just bouncing off a wall somewhere.
Yep.
I mean, I wanted to know there's a God that answers prayer. And most Christians never get to that point in their life where they know God answers prayer. So they live that way. Defeated. I mean, man, I'm not serving a Buddha, some little fat man sitting there in a little half naked, sitting there and got his arms crossed and have to take him food that nobody ever eats.
Yep.
I'm not praying to some God that's dead.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't want to serve, I'll tell you this, I don't want to serve a dead God.
Right.
The world serves plenty of dead gods.
Amen.
I want to serve a lively. A lively God. That man, the Bible says, he's able to comfort me. He's able to help me. He's able to lift me up and bring me out of trouble and trials. Man, I preach hundreds of funerals. I see people weeping and crying and tears me up inside to watch them and to see all that. But I tell you what, I tell them all the time when I preach a funeral, I just did two Monday. And I said, I believe the word of God. We had five got saved on Monday at one funeral. Brother Lee was there. Five raised their hand. And another one, I walked. I said, see right over there, there's another tent. I got to go over there now to another funeral. And I said, man, I look at the grave, and I'm looking at that, and, you know, I believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ is going to come back, and the Bible says, if you know your Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. You wise, the dead riding first because they got six more feet to come than you got.
Yeah.
And some of them got ashes, man. They're in ashes, and they're going to have to be put together. Amen. They've been spreading all the place. Some people have spread them over here and spread them over there. Some lady said, man, she said, when I die, I want you to spread all my ashes all over Walmart. And she said, they said, what? All over Walmart in the parking lot? And they said, yes. She said, at least I know my daughter's going to visit me twice a week. That's crazy.
Amen.
That is crazy. I hope you visit your mama. My Lord. It says a lively hope. Man, I tell you what. It says a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It says to an incorruptible inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Look what else it says. Who are kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though for now, for a season, if need be, ye are in manifold or heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Bible says your trials is precious. We got a lively hope making intercession for us at the right hand of God. Take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, I love this. I love Revelation chapter 1. Why? Because, man, it's the last book of the Bible, and it's the last book and tells you what's going to happen. I'll never forget when I was in prison years ago, I couldn't read or write, and I remember a guy come by, and I have a Bible. I had a living Bible. That's all I had. I didn't have no King James Bible, and we believe King James Bible around here, and I didn't have no King James Bible, and I just gotten saved. I was 18 years old, and I remember a guy come by, and I could still see the guy looking in the bars at me. And as they locked the bar, he said, what are you reading, man? I said, I'm reading the Bible. I was trying to. I had my cellmate reading it to me. And I said, I'm trying to read the Bible. And I mean, he looked at me and said, you ever read Revelation? I didn't even know there was a Revelation. I thought the book of Job said job. I thought that was what it was, you know, he's going to tell you how to get a job. And I didn't know, man. And the guy looking at me, I could still see the guy's face. And he's looking at me and saying, you ever read Revelation? I said, no. He goes, man, that's a wild book.
Yeah.
After I got saved and started reading, I've taught the Revelation, the book of Revelation a couple of times. After I got saved, reading the Revelation, I went, wow, that's a wild book. I don't need some guy in the cell telling me that's a wild book. But look what Revelation chapter 1 says. It says in Revelation chapter 1, and look at verse 9. He says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle which is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was exiled by Rome into the Isle of Patmos. John was the one that Jesus said to Peter, James, and said, they came up to Jesus and said, They said, and Jesus told Peter, said, you're going to die. How would you like the Lord to come up and say, you're going to die? And they crucified, tradition has that, they crucified Peter. The apostle Peter was crucified. But they said, Peter, when he got to the cross, where they're going to nail him to the cross, he said, I'm not worthy to die like my Savior. Turn me upside down. I don't know if that's true or not, but man, can you imagine that? Peter was out there cussing and swearing and saying, I don't even know him. What changed? A lively hope. Got a hold of him. Things changed in his life. You say, what are you praying? I'm praying this morning, things will change in your life.
Amen.
You make more of a commitment to God. Say, Lord, I want to serve you. I believe you're real. I believe you're coming back. I know you are. Man, Peter, man, he said, don't crucify me. I'm not worthy to crucify like my Lord. Turn me upside down. The apostle Paul, you know, he went to Rome. They say, the tradition has it, they cut his head off. All the disciples suffered. John gets, he gets put out to the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus said, the Bible calls John the one that Jesus loved. And Jesus loved all of them. But John just wanted to get closer to Jesus. And when Jesus told Peter, you're going to die, and you're going to be led around as an old man, and then they're going to die, you're going to die. And he said, what about him? What about him? Talking about John. He said, what is that to you if he lives till I come? And then the saying went about, if you read your Bible, the saying went about that John was never going to die. But the Lord didn't say that. But John got to see him coming. When you read the book of Revelation, that's John. He's writing it down. He watched everything all the way up to the millennium. And he's writing it down. That's why it's called the book of Revelation. People call it the apocalypse. You know, Hollywood's been trying to make movies all, man, they make movies, the apocalypse, the beginning of the end, all these movies they make, and they get it wrong. They always get it wrong.
Yeah.
Hollywood tries to put on the, you know, they use the Bible because the Bible's a moneymaker. Mel Gibson made that movie, The Passion of Christ, and I'll tell you, it had a lot of Catholic undertones in that thing, and a lot of most movies do. I was watching one last night, The Greatest Story Ever Told. It was a Catholic underline, and it showed Jesus climbing the mountain. And I'm watching it, and he goes into a cave. He climbs this mountain, and the devil's sitting there waiting on him, eating, saying, you hungry? And the devil starts reasoning with him. He said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. Because Jesus looked over the edge and said, and he kicks, and the devil went, kicked some stones down and said, hey, if you're the Son of God. Hollywood gets it wrong. They misquote it. But look what the Bible says John wrote down. He said, I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle which is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. When is the Lord's day? The Lord's day, this here is talking about when the Lord comes back, but the Lord's day, why we're in church on Sunday? See, the Seventh-day Adventist tried to say, well, you're worshiping on a false idol, a false god, a sun god. No, we worship on the first day of the week. Somebody tell me why we worship on the first day of the week.
Because
he rose again on the first day of the week. I was going to preach this morning about the sequence of when Jesus Christ was crucified. You know, they picked the lamb whenever the Passover was taking place. They picked the lamb 5 days before they killed it. John saw Jesus and he said, behold the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. 5 days before Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He goes into Jerusalem. Why? Here come the Lamb. Here come the Lamb. Jesus ate the Last Supper. He ate the first fruits with the disciples. That was called the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread. And that unleavened bread was the first fruits. You know what Jesus Christ is called? The first fruits. Woo! You say, was he crucified on Friday? No. No way in the world can you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning. Somebody got their screwed up calculations.
Yep.
He was crucified on Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He rose after 6:01 Saturday night. Because the Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock. We got to Israel. We left here on Thursday, We got to Israel the next day, 7 days, I mean 7 hours, oh, 7 days, 7 hours ahead. The flight was like 14 hours, 13, 14 hours, 7 hours ahead. So when we got to Israel, it was Friday evening. We got to the place where and everything shuts down Friday night, 6 o'clock. You couldn't buy anything. So the missionary had to bring us food. And you can buy gas, you know, if you're a tourist out there, you can't buy it. And so the missionary brought us food because you can't go out and buy nothing. They shut down Friday night, 6 o'clock. That's when Sabbath starts, 6:01. Look what the Bible says. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, of a trumpet. You know what? You know what's going to happen when the resurrection takes place, when the rapture takes place? You're going to hear something sound like a trumpet. It's going to go, dun, 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 dun. I don't know what it's going to be. But it's going to be a trumpet sound, but you're going to hear your name. You're going to hear your name called. You're going to be, I know a preacher that believes it's going to take, 7 days before the rapture takes place. You're going to hear a trumpet. You'll be riding down the road, and all of a sudden you hear this trumpet, and you go, somebody call my name for 7 days. And you think you'd go crazy. You'd probably go down to Delaware Behavioral Health thinking that you're losing your mind. You'd be riding down the road, and all of a sudden you hear your name in 7 days. Now, look what the Bible says here. It says, I love this. It says, he's saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega. That's the Greek alphabet from the beginning to the end. The first and last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, on the church of Smyrna, that's us. No, it ain't. No. We're in Smyrna. That's how you know Smyrna got named after the Bible. All over this country, there's cities named after the Bible. It says Smyrna on the Pergamos, on the Thyatira, on the Sardis, on the Philadelphia, and on the Philadelphia. You know what Philadelphia means? Brotherly love. You ain't going to find no love in Philadelphia right now. They'll love you if they can rob you. On to Laodicea. It says, and I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. We saw the seven candlesticks, but this is up in heaven. Over in Israel, right in the middle of the square where Paul was, they have the seven golden candlesticks there, solid gold. I tried to put it in my pocket, but it didn't fit. Too big. It's about that big. It says, his head, or seven golden candlesticks, like on the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool and as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were as fine brass, and they burn in a furnace, as they burn in a furnace. Brass in the Bible is a type of what?
Judgment.
His feet are like brass. Why is that? Because the Bible tells you why that is. He's going to stomp out the winepress. That's in Armageddon. It says this. It says, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. And the countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And check this out. Underline this in your Bible. Underline it. And have the keys of hell and of death. I mean, man, he's got the key of hell and death. Why? He took them away from Satan. So what do you mean? Over you read your Bible? Now, I keep saying, read your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, it says he led captivity captive, gave gifts on the man. He went into hell below, went to hell for you and me, and then he went into the paradise below, took all the saints out, and came up. You know what? Most people don't know this, that after Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, if you read your Bible, over in the in Matthew chapter 27, when he rose from the dead, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and it says, many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. People came up out of the ground and walked around the city. I just preached two funerals. Can you imagine? One day the body's going to come up, but they're going right directly to heaven. Can you imagine after Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And Jesse and I were talking about that this morning or yesterday. Can you imagine that when he rose from the grave and he came up, that those people went out throughout the city, and he said they knocked on doors. I said, they didn't knock on the doors. They went right through them.
Yeah.
They went in and started preaching to their loved ones that Jesus Christ, Messiah, you killed him. You killed our Messiah. Man, can you imagine your loved one coming back saying, hey, you better get right. You'd be another one heading for the Dover Behavioral Health. It says he has the keys of death and hell. Our lively hope, a living hope. He's alive. Folks, we're not serving a dead God. And I hope when you come in here, when we're singing, we're getting excited, we're praising God, I hope you realize, man, he's alive. He's well. God ain't up in heaven wringing his hands trying to figure out what he's going to do. He ain't worried about nothing down, what's going on. He ain't worried about your problems either. He can take care of them. We worry about him, but he can take care of whatever problem you have. You said, does he care? He cares. They said, we sing a song, does Jesus care? Yes, he does. He cares. I don't have time to finish this message, but I'm going to tell you something. He's a lively hope. He's a sure hope.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, I know he's coming. I know he rose from the grave.
Yeah.
Brother, I tell you what, you need to have your mind sober, thinking right, get your heart right. The worlds and the cares of this world choke, the Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, the cares of this world and the riches of and the lust of other things will choke the word of God in you. And what the devil's job is, it's like when I watch that thing where the devil's sitting in the cave and he's eating, and the devil says, hey, man, the devil's job is to keep you so confused, keep you so down, to keep you, man, discouraged. And the Lord saying, come on to me. Come to me. Come to me. Don't stay over there by him. Don't listen to him. And what Christians do, they'll walk over by the devil's fire, just like Peter did. And they'll walk over by the fire and sit there and listen to what the devil's got to say. When the Lord's saying, come over here, man. There's life over here. There's victory over here. There's comfort over here. Come on over here. But what we do, we go over and listen to what the devil's got to say. Oh, everybody's talking about me. Hey, man, everybody's got their own problems. They ain't worried about yours. Everybody's talking about me. Everybody's running me down. Christians are fake. All Christians are fake. All Christians are fake. Yeah, you might be. You might be a fake. I'm going to tell you something, man. God's looking for some real ones. And you can be a real one. Stop being a fake. Live that resurrection life on the resurrection power. Most Christians, man, they live a defeated life, no power in their life, no joy, there's no peace, no comfort. Why? You're not living that resurrection life. The Lord help us. God help us. We're going to sing a song. I didn't finish this message. We're going to sing a song. Let's sing something this morning. I hope, man, God will convict your heart that you want to do right. Live love for God. I'll tell you what, just maybe increase your faith. The Bible talks about increasing your faith. Man, just getting closer. What do you suggest, Jesse, we're saying?
Jesus paid it all.
All